Kaiba's got the stats and he's the leader of the team. Mark's magic multi keeps the punters keen. Trainer's crunching numbers and he's saving his trades. Guzzy says he's calm but he's got people to spray. And there's Dan, he'll join in whenever he can. That's why we all call him the world's busiest man. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF.
And welcome to, what do we say, round double zero podcast, so that we can start round one at round one, Vegas being round zero, this being double zero. Joined tonight by Mark and Dan, the other two clowns out at Mudgee couldn't make it.
They might be out on a date.
Oh, they could be. They might have taken their wives out for Valentine's Day and then taken each other out a few days later.
Unavailable on Friday.
Tuesday steak night in Mudgee, maybe. Anyway, tonight it's going to be a pretty short one. I think we're just going to talk about players that we think are must-haves in each position because they're underpriced and they're going to make us some money. And we might talk a little bit of strategy. Mark and I were talking earlier about now with the emergence of Thomas Duffy, is Ioane at fullback and two fullbacks the way to go, or is it Cleary and Hines, or is it Cleary and Duffy, or is it Hines and Duffy? And then do you pick the three big guns at fullback? I think we're all trying to fit three into two still. So we might have a little look. Mark, I know you've done a bit of prep. You're the only one that has come tonight with a bit of prep.
Two minutes prep.
2 minute noodles. Mm-hmm. Want to start at the top. Hooker. Dan, from your Broncos, there's a guy that I think is underpriced and looks like he's won the spot. Looked pretty good in the trial on the weekend. Corey Pakes. Talk to me about him and how high you are or low or what you think's going to happen there.
Yeah, like the Broncos have a million hookers at the moment. So a few LJs getting around up there. So I'm unsure, really. Like I'm not going down that path with any of the Broncos hookers at the moment. Just because I'm just not sure of job security, especially when you've got so many other options sitting around waiting. I know Moser, there's a lot of talk on Moser. I'm not too sure how many weeks he's out for, but I think he's the long-term nine up there. And then you've got Ben Hunt to slot back in to the nine role.
That's 10 weeks though, so that's a fair way off. I think you can make your money and run.
I'm mindful of trades this year.
Is Corey Pakes this year's Denny Levi?
Maybe. I think we've all been burnt in the hooker position in the past. Sonny Luke, for example.
Been burnt by a hooker before.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the LJs just are out there causing us a whole bunch of problems. But, I just think, that's not where I'm going.
Where are you going then?
Corey Pakes played really well on the weekend, but there's just so much competition for that spot. So, I won't be going there. At the moment, I've got Connor Watson starting at hooker at the moment. And I didn't see a lot from Mamazelis, but he's my other hooker at the moment.
Where are you playing Sandon Smith?
I have him at halfback.
Okay.
But
does the news of Thomas Duffy coming in...
It could change. Yeah, it could change my plans.
I think Thomas Duffy's a big trial watch this week to see how he goes. It would have been nice to see Clifford on the bench, but I still think all the talk out of North Queensland is that Duffy has won the spot and he's going to get first crack.
Well,
and possibly kick goals.
Wow. Over drink water.
Yep.
Interesting. Mark, what are you thinking in that hooking position? Are you spending any sort of money?
No.
Or are you just going cheap?
Just cheap. Sandon Smith and another cheap option. I think I've got Mamazelis in there at the minute, but he will probably come out.
So Dan's picking up the Eastern Suburbs hooker and you're picking up the King's Cross hookers.
Correct.
Right.
Who knows? I could get burnt by Brendan Hands again this year if he's the only hooker. If there's no Lussick on the bench for Parramatta, then...
I tell you what, after the trial match, Newcastle versus Parra, if Riley Smith isn't the most like Reid Marnie, I think he looks in the mirror and calls himself Reid just about. He looks... It was like going back in time to the Parramatta Grand Final.
Well, you've just got to see if he fights people in the tunnel. Yeah. You know, that's, I think that's what we all want to know. If he's really the Reed that we think that he could be, let's get Jack Hetherington and him. Maybe that did happen behind while the cameras were focusing on Zach Lomax losing his pants.
Yeah. I just look at the people that went really well last year and the people that got off to a flyer. They started with two pretty cheap hookers and spent their money elsewhere. And yes, you could say you got lucky with Danny Levi down at Canberra. And at one point, I think Lussick or Hands or someone was flying. They were up to about 400 and fell off the cliff pretty quick. But if you sold
Joey
out,
Lussick, I think.
Yeah, if you sold out, if you sold out at that time and moved to somebody else, I think it was a pretty good way. And I am mindful of not burning a lot of trades, but I'm also mindful that you can get off to a pretty hot start if you can get some players in positions where points are a bit easier to score than at hooker. So, yeah, interesting Grant named to start for Melbourne this week, I'm pretty sure, in the trials. Is that anyone seen the trial teams? I'm pretty sure that's right. We might come back. That'll be a bit of a watch there. And Munster's playing there as well. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but, yeah, could be interesting if you want to set and forget someone. Is Grant the guy to set and forget, or is there another high-priced hooker that you could see yourself just plugging and playing for the whole year?
Yeah, Grant is listed to start.
What? Did you like the plug and play?
Plugging high-priced hookers.
Goodness, what this is podcast has turned already into. The smart welcome, that happens when I'm only here part-time.
Welcome to 2025.
On the podcast. Goodness gracious. But yeah, so Harry Grant's been listed to start, so against Reece Robson. So, you know, there was another option that a lot of people had last year and just either held him all year. I know he got picked up for Origin, but I think people just sort of carried him through that. And that was, you know, a trade that they didn't have to burn in that hooker position. I know I burned a lot up there last year just trying to go to the cheapies and then went to Wade Egan, who got injured. And then, you know, so I think, I'd like someone essentially that could stay there for a little while, make me some cash and then move on. But I'm also worried about the points, so I might be rethinking my Connor
Watson. I was listening to something. It was more involved in the draft. It was a draft chat. I was a bit desperate. No one else was putting out a lot of content. And I listened to some draft chat just by the off chance that I get invited to a draft league. I've never been in a draft league and have no idea how to play it. And they were talking about the handcuff theory. Has anyone heard of that?
Yeah, where you pick the starter and then he's back up in that position.
Yeah, and they were talking potentially about doing that with Appy and Talon De Silva. Appy's out for the start of the year. Can you get a couple of price rises out of Talon, like a price rise? How long's Appy out for? I can't remember. He's suspended.
I think it's only one or two matches he's got to serve, I think.
So you'll get a couple of matches out of Talon De Silva, then he'll be on the bubble. If Appy gets an injury or something like that, you might get a price rise or two out of him. Or Appy might get suspended again because Appy has he does love a sin bin. And but that's another theory that you could potentially do. Obviously, you'd have to be very mindful of buys and different things, but just something I hadn't really heard of, the handcuff, which I didn't mind the thought of. And you could probably do that.
Be a dangerous play with the hookers, though.
It would. Let's move on to front rowers before Mark.
The smart, seriously. Mark, sorry, listener.
I think Mark's going to need a pillow like one of our friends had in his podcast debut. So if he keeps talking about hookers for any longer. So we might go to front row forwards. Where's the value in front row?
What?
Who's underpriced? Who's the lock? And it's pretty obvious, really, isn't it?
Especially, I think, with some news that came out this afternoon that Clemmer could be on the way out from the Tigers.
As soon as now.
That, I think, just improves the stocks of Terrell May again.
It also improves the stocks of a guy that I know Matt Traynor loves to have, big, sexy boy Royce Hunt. I don't love Royce, but at 200 and something thousand, he could be a guy that gets 40 minutes and does okay. But Terrell May, I don't understand how he's not 100% owned. Like, people are just not doing it right if that's where it's at. So other players with value.
The other one I've got written down is Tino. Yeah,
obvious. But
I suppose the question there is, how has he come back from a long layoff, ACL? Players have a bit of a history of coming back slow.
He's a front rower.
But you'd think over the course of the season, he's
definitely starting underpriced.
He also did it about 12 months ago, didn't he? Did it before this?
Did it in round two, I think.
But pretty much 12 months ago, which, you know, players have been known to come back after 7, 8, 9 months. So he's had that extra extended time off. He's named in the reserves for the trial this week. The other guy that I think you can get three blokes underpriced at front row and not have to worry, and definitely don't have any Pele panic this year, Dan.
No, we don't want
to. Please don't pick Tom Amone.
Tom Amone, yeah.
No, it's nowhere near my team.
I think Corey Horsburgh is the third guy, so that's three pretty strong front rowers. If Ricky and the horse have made up, Big Red had a bit of a kiss and made up, I think there's another good option for you to plug and play, and then find that guy like Royce Hunt or somebody else at that low 200s that could be a slow burn up to 400. So
I think like something to think about with Tino is the size of that pack up there and how many. I know we talked in the off season, Davo, about the Titans pack and that rotation, that front row rotation with Jolliffe and all those guys there. And you go, are they going to
come? Fodawaker.
Randall as well, who plays
Regan Campbell-Gillard
now joining there. So I know Tino's their leader and like has been a great servant since going up to the Titans and chase minutes going up there from Melbourne. But I think, I'm just a little bit hesitant with Tino at the moment, just to sort of see. I know they've got the bye round one as well. So, you know, you've kind of got 4 weeks to make that decision, essentially, to go, I don't know, it's burning a trade, but if you sort of have a little look at how they're going to play, I think him listed from the bench this week, just to sort of see how it's going. But I'd love to see what that looks like up there.
I still probably don't see him averaging below what he's priced at now, so you're not going to lose money.
What are they paying? Did he sign like a 12 million 10-year contract or something, didn't
he? Yeah, the new Tamalolo deal.
Yeah. I just think he will end up at that sort of
65-minute
minimum sort of play every week.
He's probably as good as the next best player.
He'll probably play lock.
Move from lock to front row. Randall will come on off the bench. Bit of coverage as well.
Yeah. I suppose that's just something to keep in mind if you're looking elsewhere. The other thing I was thinking was the Titans, talking about a former Titans player, that Aaron Clark. I mean, I think we've all seen that Aaron has the ability to go out there and put on big points and really contribute. So
rip people's heads off.
He's currently priced at 391. Which I think he was up over 500 at some point last year.
When he played lock, he got a few games at lock either last year.
And the lock position is now open at the Warriors with Dylan Walker floating around as well. And I think that's
probably where I'm worried that they might just split minutes.
Take each other's minutes.
Yeah. So, but Aaron's
Andrew Webster apparently has big raps on him. I've read a couple of.
On
Aaron Clark. I've read a couple of interviews and quotes where he's. Yeah, it seems like he wants him to move in and marry his daughter almost. So,
yeah. Well, Aaron's on my little watch list at the moment. Just having a little look and seeing if I can sort of skimp out in the front row with Aaron and Terrell May and maybe use that money elsewhere.
I mean, the other thing to look at as well at the Titans, I'm going to go back to Tino, and this is sort of what's convinced me. They've got three blokes in Foran, Brimson and Campbell. Kinney's going to play fullback. You'd have to think he was dominant there for the Kiwis. Those three blokes, three have to go into two, and one's going to probably land on the bench.
Foran's going to be the 14 on the bench. That's the talker, I think.
So that looks like you're going to have bigger minutes, and Regan Campbell-Gillard can play bigger minutes, getting a bit older. Tino's the man, I think, that's got to play those bigger minutes. Mo can do it, but not consistently. We all know Tino can do it consistently. I'm not buying too much into the coming back from an ACL because of the length of time. Yeah, I think at 500 and whatever he is, I think anything like he was 700,000 in 2023. So there's no reason why he doesn't get back to there.
Should just be a listener in this podcast.
No reason why he doesn't get back to there. All right.
This is why I'm part time.
There's a couple. So Tino and Big Red are 2RF front row forward. Then you've got someone like White from the Roosters, who's that 2RF front row as well. Who can plug in. He can potentially play that Terrell May role from last year for the Roosters if he doesn't start.
Big impact White, I think. You know, he's a big body and he's
played 40 or 50 minutes straight in the
trial game last weekend, I think.
Wong looked all right. Is Wong, is he dual position or is he only two RF?
Have a look.
Because
he's been named at 13 this week.
At some point, you'd love to have White on the bench, wouldn't you?
Like, you'd love to have that in your team. And that would be a gag that we could use every single week. So
Wong only available at 2RF.
No, that's a bit disappointing. But yeah, I think front row is a position that you can probably, with May, Tino, Horsburgh not being, you know, that price that we would have had to pay for Tino in the past, Tarpanay, Payne Haas. I think, yeah, after, or like through Origin, you want to get Tarpanay, and after Origin, you want to get Haas. But I think you're not going to be as far behind if you pick those guys at 500,000 this year, and you can probably just plug and play, save your trades, Dan.
Oh, that's 500 less. Listen up.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's what I'm planning on doing this year.
All right. Two RFs. This is where the, you know, the rubber hits the road, so they say. The real action starts, and you can start to pick some of those upside players, particularly with the opportunity to go Iongi and Duffy, perhaps, and really save money in those two positions. You can probably start with two RFs that aren't bottom dollar. Who, last year, I went that real mid-range strategy, and it sucked.
Seafarth.
Yeah.
Did you get the West Tigers captain this week?
The only one that worked out for me, I think, was Angus Crichton, started around that mid price, about 500,000 or less, maybe 400 and something thousand after he came back from wherever he was cooked.
Yeah, but I think last year Seyfarth spent plenty of time in that middle rotation.
And in the bin.
And in the bin. He looks like he's potentially locked in on the edge there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got Seyfarth and I've got Samuel Afenu written down as a not bad.
I'm just sort of
mid options.
I'm a bit nervous to have too many.
Obviously not
Tigers.
Obviously not both of them, but one of the two, I think, is potentially a really good option. So, Fainu, we saw last year, he can get plenty of attacking stats. So he's one that I had my eye on there.
Kobe Hetherington, to go back to the Broncos, I think, is someone that there's been a lot of talk that for someone who looked like he was on the way out and now has the 13 on his back this weekend with Pat Carrigan pushing to the front row. I think Brisbane have named a pretty strong side this weekend.
It's pretty close.
Pretty close to, and I suppose we'll have a look at Jack.
I don't think Gemat will start.
No, but I think Jack Goyskowski or whatever his name is, I think there's been talk up there that he's won that edge spot over Piakura.
Yeah.
And it seems that's the way they're lining up this weekend. It does seem also with Kobe Hetherington playing 13 and Pat pushing up into the front row. So at that price, at 338, I think Kobe can definitely do a job in that back row, and he's someone that is in my team.
We're also looking at blokes that can make some money. If he's going to play 40, 50, 60 minutes, he's going to make bucket load of tackles, take a heap of hit-ups. They say he's improved his linking through the middle. So Kobe Hetherington just looks like a Madge kind of player, no nonsense, wears black boots, turns up to training, wears his shirt at training, has a normal haircut, you know, all those sorts of things that Madge finds really important when you're setting standards. I agree with Gazewski at 222. I can't even read that, 232 or something like that. I don't think you can lose money on people like that if they're playing close enough to 80 minutes. Like, he might, Piakura might be on the bench and he might come off, but he could then go through the middle and play through the middle as well. Kelma Tuolungi, another guy that I think, if he can stay injury-free, 433. I know I said I went the mid-range strategy last year and I was a bit burnt by it, but I'm probably going to try it again, to be fair, because it's about making money, isn't it? You got to start. You can't start with Angus Crichton. You can't start, I don't think. Is anyone doing that?
No.
Like, who's your highest price second row? Mine's Connor Watson.
Yeah, I've got Connor Watson.
And the thought behind Connor Watson was, if Pakes or Sandon Smith or something happens up there, I can flick Connor Watson and somehow spin it around. I want that flexibility.
Well, I mean, I could do that too. Connor Watson's in my team, but currently in the hooker position, which I... Yeah,
I don't want Sandon Smith and Connor Watson both up there, because they have a bye at some point in the first six or seven rounds, I think.
Which isn't fatal this year with the flex.
It's not fatal with the flex, but I don't want to, I don't
necessarily want that early in the season, I don't think, just with how many other blokes are going to suck in my team. I think
they don't have a bye until round 10.
Oh, it's around 10. So by then you're probably making some moves anyway and doing some things. So not as bad as I thought. So is anyone starting with anyone above the price of Connor Watson?
Yeah, I think I've currently got Jermaine Hopgood.
Okay.
I just think missed a bit of time last year with injury. I think he will play big minutes this year. So I've got him locked in.
I've also heard some people saying Isaiah Yeo. Like a few people just lock and load Isaiah Yeo. He's about 700,000. You're going to get about 70 points out of him. I think something crazy like 90% of his games last year was 60 points and above, which is unbelievable, you know. So
I have Keon at the moment, but that could change too.
He looks really fit, apparently. He's lost a stack of weight. Wayne told him he was going to play through the middle and he lost about 10 kilos or something in the offseason.
I thought he played wonderfully towards the end of last year through the middle, but they've...
You get to have a look at him this weekend as well, which is good. Bit disappointing you don't get to have a look at like Manly haven't put out a very strong team. No Brooksy, no
Captain Wubin,
Cherry Evans, no Olakau'atu. It would have been nice to get a look at those blokes as well. All right, let's go into the halfback spot. This is a bit contentious now with Thomas Duffy looking like he's going to get a start. 198,000. I just don't think you can pass that up in Supercoach. Playmaker at a team that historically scores pretty well. I think they've got quite a few games up north as well early in the season. So I think they are a team that can historically score a few points early when everyone else struggles a little bit to score points. So if what you say, Mark, is right and he's a chance of getting the goal kicking as well, he's definitely going to score more than 20 points a game, surely. Thoughts?
You'd think so. I imagine that he'll get plenty of traffic run his way, so he'll have to make a few tackles as well.
Yeah, he might even itself out. 12 tackles, 12 tackles missed. So, anyone not starting with Nathan Cleary?
Cleary's locked and loaded for me.
Yeah, he's in my team.
Yeah, I just think, what did we have to pay for him last year? Like over 900,000, I think, to start. And I started with him last year. So, why wouldn't I start with him at 811,000? Feels cheap. Anyone in the boat of Cleary and Hines?
Now, I didn't do that last year. I only had the one for a while, and it seemed to be working for me. I know I missed out. I remember going to a game, and I couldn't not own the wet hair god, and I had to bring him in before that happened because I just couldn't sit there and watch live. I only had one last year.
Anyone doing anything different? Like anyone thinking Jerome Hughes can go back and do what he did last year? Or are we just going to wait and have a look at him during the Origin period like we do every year for all the Kiwis?
Yeah,
I don't think you can start with him. He surely can't start the season as hotly as he finished it last year.
Any love for Lewis Dodd?
Not after what I saw last week or didn't see last week. I mean, the little ball that he put through, I don't know who that was, that edge back row, that looked kind of nice, but the game was kind of done at that point, so... No, thanks. Yeah. I think with Latrell and Walker being back, I think a lot of that stuff is going to be going through those two.
Agree. All right, 5'8". I saw enough out of Luke Metcalf last week to know that that's probably where I'm going to go. He can probably sit in my starting position in reality at 400,000. It's just hard to find somebody to pair with him. Who are you pair? Like, are you all going Metcalf?
Yeah, I am.
Mark?
Yeah,
I think
especially with the goals too.
I think Trainer and Guardsy are as well. I think Trainer's pairing him with Lachlan Galvin. What are your thoughts here, Dan?
I actually have Braden Trindle.
Okay.
At the moment, I just thought, you know, with the Sharks,
if you're not going UK, you're going Trindle.
Well, that's what kind of I just think the Sharks have such a good team, and they are. Typically, like they've been there and thereabouts the last couple of seasons. And I think when Trindle's in the team, he kind of I would think that he sort of stops the points to Nico a little bit because he's so hands on the ball.
Yeah.
And if he's, I know they were talking of him playing halfback, which kind of made it his team and allowed Nico to be a little bit more free.
It would have been pretty handy if Nico could have got the duel, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would have been just a little easier to figure out things.
Yeah, I've got Trindle at the moment. That's just what I'm thinking.
Who have you got, Mark, paired up with Metcalf?
Dylan Brown.
Just lock and load.
Yeah, look, there's...
Playing for a contract.
Yeah.
Well, I hear the Knights are interested.
Oh, yeah. What are they going to then field the Western Suburbs Rosellas under eights as the rest of the team? Him and Kalen Ponga. Anyway.
Ponga's on 1.4, Dylan Brown on 1.2. Doesn't leave a lot left.
Brad made me on a bit, fair bit too.
You'd think so.
Friend of the show, Dane Gago, I would be on a...
Yeah,
decent contract
bet. And old Jacko Hastings doesn't look like he's just going to skip out on his 800,000.
Yeah, he'd probably happy to play New South Wales Cup and earn that every fortnight, wouldn't he? I just think there's hardly any options, really, is there? Like,
no, not a lot. And I like Metcalf, and he's the guy I'm going to start with. And I think I'm going to partner him up with Adam Dewey. As long as Dewey gets the centre spot, I've heard that if he does, he's going to kick goals. You'll get first goal at kicking goals. He's a bloody good goal kicker. Mm. Injury risk, but at 430,000, I think he can score 45 every week in base. And then if he can add a few tries on top of that, that's where I'm headed. But a bit nervous now that he's been named at 7 for the trial game. Not sure what that means. Olam hasn't been named either in the Tigers' centres, so not sure if Naden and Stafford Tower are going to be the centres. So that's teamless dependent on round one.
Naden had a pretty strong game for the All-Stars last week.
Naden's greyer than I am, though, so not convinced on Naden. Goes hiding. Did you get that joke?
No, that was good.
That was a good one.
That's good.
All right. Nice work. Moving down to the centres, I'm heading down a path that I headed many years ago where I just lock in a 2RF in the centres. If you could get a dual position 2RF centre years ago, it was the way to go. And I'm looking at Dylan Lucas, particularly after the Indigenous All-Stars performance last weekend. He looked in good nick. And I just think he's a footy player that I'm pretty keen to back this year, 616,000.
Remember Isaiah Yeo had 2RF centre a few years back?
Was that real? Good. And there was someone, Bo Fermor's got it this year, which...
He's had the last couple of years.
Which isn't a bad little shout either, but just the one of those this year for me in Dylan Lucas, he's like a guy that I'm pretty keen to lock in. And I'm locking in Ruben Garrick. I think his role, the goal kicking, Manly looked pretty good, I think, on paper. So
I think it counteracts the fact that if you don't have Turbo, if you're not starting with Turbo, you can still kind of...
I think you're mad not to start with Turbo.
But you've got that Garrick Turbo.
Yeah, absolutely. Thing. Who are the high-priced centres, assuming you're starting with any high-priced centres? Who are they this year?
I've got Garrick and, my next highest one is Campbell Graham. But I know there's an injury there, so I think I'm still sort of... I'm cautious.
What's Campbell Graham at about 505? Yeah. I know Gardsy spoke it when we had a little chat earlier. He's going friend of the show, Dane Gago. He's just lock and load all year, he reckons.
Whereas Dolphani says, Damien Gago.
Damien Gago. Go, Damien. The other guy I'm looking at seriously is Greg Marzew.
I've got Greg Marzew in
my team. I think 513,000. If Greg the leg can't pull out 55 every week, something's going wrong. I think last year we spent up 700,000 and were disappointed when he averaged about 55. I think surely they go left a little bit more often with Bradman back.
You wouldn't think he's going to average less than he did last year.
No.
That was the basement, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So if they do go left a little bit, I've got written down here that Marzew, but he is really reliant on Bradman Best being in the team. When Dylan Lucas pushed out that
to center,
further spot to center, Gagai, Marzew hardly saw the ball at all, whereas Best has got that nice little tip on and he just draws defenders to him.
And I think Fletcher Sharp's going to be on that side as well. So Fletcher Sharp with his pace going to KP, going to best. Hopefully, he can get to Marju. So, Ty Munro. Any thoughts on Ty Munro? Looks like he's going to get that coveted left wing spot at Souths.
I know the boys were talking earlier about that being Guardsy.
Hmm.
He's talking about Tass.
Yeah, I've got Tass.
So I just think, is Tass named at left wing this week?
No.
Not that it really matters.
I think charity shield, is Munro.
They're both named. So they're both named on the wing. But
I think Munro's going to play left is what I've heard. No idea. So he's going to play down that left-hand side. If he's playing there, no reason why he can't score 20 tries you, like AJ does every year.
Are you
year.
Worried about no Cody Walker potentially to start the season?
No, just no. Latrell, Whiten. I just think
there's plenty. Yeah, we've got Jaden Sullivan playing six this week.
Which, is he 5'8 as well, Jaden Sullivan? Because if he gets a bit of a go, if he actually gets the halfback spot, remember that year at Magic Round when he was still playing for the Dragons and he had an absolute ball tear? He's got the biggest ass up since Joey Johns. He looks strong. Apparently, Wayne's got him firing. If Wayne Bennett, like, if someone's going to come out and produce their best, who's it going to be for? Like, true. I think he's a bit of a forgotten man that he's gone over to the Bunnies, and he could easily slot in there at the seven for the Bunnies. Good in defence, offers a little bit in attack. Not the worst thought process, and I don't think he's very expensive.
I'm just going to have a look. Oh, yeah.
Who's going to get the centre spots at the Roosters?
I think Toya's locked into one now, I think, after that game last week.
He looked strong, didn't he?
Played great last week.
And I read in a chat somewhere that Billy Smith's been training at left centre all year, and that's where Mark played last week.
Nangawata Wasi or whatever.
So we'll stick with Mark. And he was a turnstile.
Yeah, and Robbo has come out and said we're not sure what his best position is yet.
Yeah.
You don't find that out in the NRL, do you?
But then Billy Smith, I don't think he's not named to play this week. Apparently he's nursing a bit of a injury, hip niggle, apparently.
So, shock me.
He's gone missing again. So we have the missing person.
He's not named this week. So
Billy Smith.
I mean, I've got my Toya is locked in to my centres. So
yeah, especially at 198,000. Doesn't have to do a lot to make some money, does he?
Yeah.
Score a couple of tries and he goes through the roof. The last one that I've got a couple more. Jesse Arthur's after his
love that.
After his Indigenous All-Stars Preston Campbell medal winning performance. Isn't he rocking it this year? God, he's turned into a rock star. He's everything Madge doesn't like, with the long bleached hair and the arm sleeve tattoo and the six pack.
Madge will like it when he's scoring tries. I'll give you that for free.
Is it just a Matt Traynor trap, though? Is Matt Traynor just going to buy him again
and I hope not.
Swear at him all
Stay
year?
Stay away.
I don't know, but he looks stronger this year. Like, his carries out of the backfield look stronger. I just think
it's great. He's in
340,000. He's in my team. And the last one that I've got, a bit of a placeholder, but I hope he can get the position, is Purdue up at the Cowboys.
Same.
I think 240,000. He looked all right.
257.
Is it 257?
Yeah. There's some questions over his job security, I think, though, isn't there?
They say Valaya's got one spot.
Cole Labor.
Yeah.
Coming back of a long-term injury.
He's out for the first 5 weeks.
Going to start him in Queensland Cup. And
probably gives you 5 to 7 weeks. You probably don't need Purdue for much longer than that, really. You just need
start to upgrade.
You just need him not to be, what was the South's Gagai last year?
Jacob Gagai.
Two games and then about 17 weeks later for his third game.
Did he score two tries in Vegas?
Oh, I don't know, but everyone
and it helped. Yeah,
everyone piled on and then he didn't get named for 15 weeks or something. So,
I think he helped people out over bye coverage or something. There was something like that where they're like, yes, he's playing.
Is there any other centers that I've missed?
I've got Jarrell, not in my team, but who might be potentially underpriced. Jarrell Skelton, he looks like he's sort of in that Marzu mold,
he's a big unit, isn't he?
Blinking winger who he's doesn't
a big
mind.
Unit. He's a big unit.
Doesn't mind. Doesn't
in the mind to get up. I heard him eating ice cream. I saw him eating the ice cream.
Ah, yes.
He's a big unit.
Cricket's not dead.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think he's potentially undervalued. They're new halves. But
Well, there's been a development today with Kiraz likely out for indefinitely. And I can't even, like, they lost a lot of depth.
Oh, no, no Adokar, no Skelton. Skelton.
And someone else that is named for
Tuala, who went to the Dogs, has broken his foot.
So he's injured out for 10 weeks.
Like I used to teach, he was playing on the Sting there, and he's now going to the Sharks. So.
Yeah. So I think that, what's the guy that wears the, is it Wilson?
Wilson. Yeah,
Blake Wilson.
Blake Wilson with Wilson. The headgear. I think he looks like he'll get a spot. I don't know what he's priced at, but yeah, just an interesting development that I know a lot of people are keen to lock Karaz in, but probably are going to jump off now.
Reuse the funds elsewhere.
Yeah, a bit of chat about Herbie Farnworth. Yeah. Like, as an option. Kind of don't want to spend that much money on a centre that doesn't kick goals. Like, it's where Garrick and Holmes, even if they have a down week, they kick a few goals and they get to 40, 45. You just don't want to spend that kind
I
of money.
I love Garrick going back to the wing. I just,
not going to happen.
That's, I know. But...
And here's probably, we're down to fullbacks, and I'm going to include the flex in the fullbacks because I think only a madman's going to change from a fullback in the flex position, whether it's to make money or whether it's to make points. They're the only two options, really, aren't they? Make money or points.
Oh, sorry.
Pretty simple game.
Scores, tries, kicks, goals.
Simple game. number one fullback. Who's the number one fullback?
Turbo.
By how far?
Plenty.
Yep, agreed.
I'm with that.
Who's number two?
I'm going with Trell. Under Wayne.
I've gone Ponga.
I can't split them.
Oh, so you're getting both, is that what you're saying? You're the little taco girl?
Yeah.
Although I'll pass it, why don't we have both?
So here's my theory, and I've flipped and I've flopped more than a New Zealand jandal. Tom Trbojevic, locked and loaded. He's in the starting spot. He's my captain for round 0-1. Absolutely my captain. I've got Kalyn Ponga in the flex. He's my vice captain. Hopefully they don't play too late. I haven't even looked at that. That might be the stupidest thing I've ever said. But if I can make it work, because I'm going to start with Tino, so I know I've got somebody
that you can loop.
That I can loop, which is good. And then I'm going to have Latrell Mitchell on the bench. My theory is if Iongi does kill it, I've got a little bit of time and Ponga has a bye in round 4. So I can jump off a week early, potentially pick up Iongi, get his points, but I've already got the 2 rounds of points, hopefully, for Kalyn Ponga. So if it's about points and making money, hopefully I can get both. It's just a little...
But you're losing trades.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, what's a trade worth? What I want to do this year, what I want to try and do, is not start so slowly and have to build my way from 90,000th like I have for the last 3 years. Yeah, it's awesome to go from 90,000 to 20,000th. But then last year I sat around there for so bloody long. I want to start hot and I want to be up. I want to be the guy. I want to be one of those guys that's...
That's why you're the leader of our team.
Who jumps on the right cheapies at the start of the year.
Yeah, jumps on the right cheapies, but also not be afraid to use a few trades early and then have some discipline. I think that's where I've been... gone wrong.
I can't trust myself with that.
I've gone shitloads of mid-price players early.
Yeah.
I've had to revamp my side and I've forever chased my tail. I think I'm just going to try and buy quality. And if the quality doesn't work, then I can go to pick up the money. At least then I'm going to give myself the best chance of scoring as highly as possible. It could even mean at some point that I might try and save some money somewhere else, depending on team lists. And start with Cleary and Hines as well. Like, whether that means I nuff out outside of Metcalf or do something crazy like that, or nuff in the 2RF position or something like that, just to try and, you know, start with those high quality players that, yeah, they don't start hot, but they still start hotter than anyone else. So, what's your theory down there? Half at fullback and flex.
I've gone on
long enough.
I have Iongi in at the moment. And just running Mitchell and Trbojevic.
Does that make you nervous that you might miss Ponga?
A little bit, yeah. But you know, I would like to say you can't have more, but you can. You totally can. So I'm currently, and this is why I'm only part-time, guys. So listeners.
But that's why I wonder, are we overthinking that? Oh, we've got to make money. Iongi's like the gift from the gods because he's going to make money. What if Iongi comes out and scores 30-30-30 and you've missed Luttrell or Ponga getting 100? You've lost, you know, over three rounds.
If you don't captain him, that's 200.
I don't know. I just think there's an opportunity to start the year with both of them now with Duffy coming in. I think the fullbacks are going to outscore Hines. So do I try and make my money in Duffy? And then if one of the fullbacks that I've picked, the three guns, don't perform, it's one trade.
Oh, twist my rubber arm. It's one. And it leaves me with 3,000 left.
It's one trade to go from.
Yeah, but that's all right, because if you're trading out there because Ioni's going well, you're selling Ponga or Luttrell, who are top dollar, so you can move to whoever you want.
Yeah, and that's just the way I look at it. It's one trade. I know trades are important, but so's starting hot and so's getting the points. Where do we always want to get points from? In years gone past, we've only been able to start with one fullback. This year, you can start with the three guns, the three that, whichever one you don't own, you want to watch the game behind the lounge. I'm pretty happy to try and take that on. Just as a...
You've done it.
I mean,
I've made some changes now, Lister.
No, he's had to bring Franklin Pye into his front row to do it.
That spud will never... I don't think he's available anymore.
Not a bad auto emergency option this year. He's definitely not playing. Who was that other Canterbury bloke that for about 4 years in a row, the guy was living in England?
Yeah.
He was playing, you know, bloody League Two in England. He was still getting named because the Dogs were paying part of his contract.
LA is unavailable to be selected this year. I've just checked. So
who was the bloke last year? It wasn't Pele last year, was it?
No, it was Pouassa.
Oh, Pharmacy. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pouassa.
Mark,
also unavailable.
Which way are you going in fullback?
Well, at the moment, I've got Turbo, Ponga in the flex, and then Iongi, but my team will change 5,000 times before.
Dan, I'll give you a call if I change that theory that I've come up with. At about midnight last night.
No love for your man up there at Red Hill in Wheesie under Maguire?
Nah.
Do you know?
No.
Has to wear a shirt at training, so no good.
There's a couple of fullbacks I think that can jump out of the ground this year. I think Keanu Kinney's going to be a guy that scores. He's got a super coach game.
Yeah.
Absolutely conducive. Line breaks, tackle bust because of his speed. I think if you're going to look outside those big three, I know Teddy's very good, and that no one's talked about Teddy this year, and he was the highest scoring fullback, I think, last year. Nearly the highest scoring player, wasn't he? In Supercoach, like he was right up there.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how much he gets his hands on the ball now. Like he's going to have even more.
Mate, he's going to have to try and push the hair out of Chad Townsend's eyes to get the ball.
Mm.
Like, he's going to be the man. He's just going to be getting everything. Is he going to take 400 runs a game?
Mm.
And that's all you have to do in Supercoach is just hold...
Be involved.
Be involved a lot.
Mm.
So...
Well, Dylan Edwards is another guy that people haven't talked about.
But... Yeah, I think he had one of those years that everything fell into place for him at the right time to go well with the goal kicking and no Cleary, and he became that guy.
What about Gutho? Is anyone talking about, is he still the king now he's moved from Parramatta?
I think he's a little bit further down the pecking order. Like, if you're looking at outside of elite, the top three, then you've got Kinney, Walsh, Drinkwater, Tedesco.
Drinkwater's not a bad shout. If Drinkwater gets the other kicking. Chance of kicking, so he might have been the top point scorer, but Teddy had a better average last year.
Yeah, not sure. But Drinkwater's the guy that no one ever gets on.
Pappy? No love for Pappy. Well,
there you go. Like,
there's still a few before we get to Gutho and...
I think so, yeah.
And the Jareen Buller's and...
Well, Jareen Buller could come... Like, if you look at how everyone had to defend Jareen Buller last year, there was no one really else to watch, was there? Jareen's coming out the back, let's kill him.
Yeah.
At least this year, you've got a few other targets that they've got to keep an eye out for. He could be the big winner out of that.
Well, he's a fullback
that you don't have to play at fullback. You can play him at 5'8", KO weeks down at Canberra. Did you see him burn Nico in that?
That was impressive. That was so good. I thought the Raiders were going to put a cricket score on him at the start.
I suppose if you look at years gone by, if we want to look historically, if you could pick a fullback up at 5'8", remember when Ponga was 5'8", fullback dual.
You could run four fullbacks.
Yeah, because Latrell, I think, or someone had centre wing. Hammer had centre wing. Like there's Hammer as well. Like,
yeah.
No one's like, it's just a position that I don't want to waste the flex position on a cash cow just at the moment because I don't think I have to. If it works out on Team List Tuesday that I have to, well, that whole theory will change. But at the moment, I can make it work. So that's where I'm up to. Right, want one prediction from you before we finish up here, boys? Who's going to be the leading point scorer in Supercoach this year? I know I've put you on
question
the spot.
Question without notice.
Question without notice, but that's what
I'm going to go for Turbo. He needs a lot to go his way. He needs to stay fit. But if he stays fit, then,
I think it's by the length of the straight. If Turbo stays fit, I reckon Latrell Mitchell. I think he's in for a very big year.
That was my next biggest thing. I think the South Sydney game will be designed around the fact that Latrell will be able to just inject himself whenever. Like, I mean, you look at when Greg Inglis was there and the impact that Greg Inglis had at fullback. I think there's been a lot of talk about Latrell Mitchell, and I just think under Wayne, Wayne's going to give him a cut of league. He's going to give him everything he needs, and Latrell's a big one for me.
And here's the next one.
Got goals as well.
Who's going to be the biggest regress? Like, who's going to regress the most?
Oof. That's,
like, there's another question without notice, but I think it gives everyone.
I got one. Valentine Holmes. Yeah,
Valentine Holmes was my one as well. Very obvious. Very obvious in, like,
you got a halves pairing of Elias and Flanagan. I mean, there's a lot of people high going to score 30 points a game, are they?
There's a lot of people high on the Dragons. I think the Dragons will improve. I think their defense will improve. I think their attack might not be outstanding. So,
well, you take Hunt and Lomax out of that team, which is where a lot of the points came from last year. I don't know the stats with try assist with those two, but there was a bit going on with those two.
So Valentine Holmes starting at 784,000.
And no thanks.
Yeah. So he's got to average the better part of 80 to keep his score there. So I think we're all in agreement. Is he a guy you're going to try and work up to? Probably. But he might not get there. He might regress down to an average of 65 and we find somebody else in that spot. Boys, that was probably a better chat than I thought we were going to have. Dan, you know heaps more than you think, and you're not really a part-timer at all.
I am.
You are the best person to manipulate, though, and be able to talk into so many things.
And that's why I don't listen to any other podcast except this one.
It's always good fun.
There's too much information out
there.
Can
you imagine if Trainer and Guardsy were here as well with all their information?
No, thanks. As I said, part-time listener, so you would enjoy me when you get me. If not, wait for next week and I won't be on. So, that's kind of where we're at.
It would have been fantastic. Dan would have needed the cushion from Mark after the hooker chat for the rest. Once Guardsy started talking about Damien Gagai and Trainer started talking about Lachlan Galvin, I reckon you'd be out of money with six spots to fill.
Yeah, but we all know I had a good interest rate a couple of years ago. It's not so good now.
Yes. All right, boys. Well, thanks.
They're on the way down, Dan. They're on the way down.
I did hear that.
0.25. Righto, boys. Thanks for the chat tonight. Pretty good, I think, from the lounge tonight. So we'll wrap that up. I'll try and get this out. We did record one last week that just didn't happen. I recorded it in some strange...
You were waiting for a new theme song, weren't you?
Yeah, I was waiting for a new theme song, and we've got a banger from Dan. Hopefully you sing along. There's a spot where all our shepherds can P4SS themselves silly in their cars while they listen to this. Anyway, thanks for that.